Did you know that Gazette print subscribers have full access to digital content at no extra cost? Activate your digital subscription now to enjoy the latest headlines, sports updates, and more at thegazette.com or through the Gazette mobile app. Read the page-by-page daily newspaper with the Green Gazette, perfect for on-the-go reading. Activate your subscription at thegazette.com/activate or call 319-398-8333.
Hello, everyone. Jeff Johnson from the Gazette here, along with KJ Pilcher and Jeff Linder, on another August-like fall Wednesday. The baseball playoffs are going on, and it sure feels like baseball weather. Yeah. Pretty crazy. I mean, we've had unbelievable weather the first, what are we in now? Week six, right? So,
yeah.
You know, two-thirds of the way through the season, the weather's been unbelievable. So
been great.
Let's dive right in. We're here to talk high school football here on our Triple Option podcast. And I guess we'll just kind of run through last week as we normally do here. And I guess we'll start maybe with some Thursday games. We had a couple involving area/metro teams. Sigourney Kyoto beat Louisa Muscatine 69-0. Not quite sure why they played that one on Thursday. That was at Louisa Muscatine. Maybe a homecoming thing. Who knows? Iowa Valley remains undefeated 69-22 over Winfield Mount Union. Then a couple of metro games. Lindmar picks up its first win of the season 41-10 at Davenport Central. Coach Dwayne Orr gets his first win as Lions boss. And then KJ, actually, I snuck out watched the first half just as a fan, KJ. So Cedar Rapids Prairie over Cedar Rapids Jefferson, 49-21. And what might be best titled the David Faison game, right, Bilch?
Yeah, I tell you what, he was all over the place against the Jayhawks, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Just disrupting things on defense. Wreaking a little bit of havoc on offense. And then on special teams, there are a couple punts that I know he got his hand on one of them that set up really good field positions for the Prairie Hawks. They put up 28 in the first quarter, 14 in the second. So they were up big, 42-7 at half. They went on and won I believe 49-21, if I remember correctly. But he didn't have a lot of yards, just about 97 total, right? But it's what he did with those five touches on offense. He scored three touchdowns. One short pass early on for a score, and then his second receiving I'm assuming you saw it since you were there, but he got a pass out in the open field, and it was like Mack truck. Remember Maximum Overdrive, the Stephen King movie?
Oh yeah.
Tell you what, it was a possessed truck running down civilians. It seemed like he ran through a couple tacklers, and then there was one last defender that tried, but it was no match. I tell you what, when he gets out in the open field, he gets ahead of steam. Not very many people are going to be able to bring him down. And he went for, I think, 47 yards on that touchdown. And then, then he rushed for a touchdown, about a 4 or 5 yard TD. So Coach Kyle Knox said he was at dinner earlier in the week, and his son was like, hey, why don't you put David in the backfield? And he goes, well, we just happened to be doing that this week. He goes, well, what took you so long? That's something that Prairie's going to keep kind of moving him around and finding ways to get him the ball. And he's a force. Force on defense, 4 solo tackles, and 3 of them were tackles for loss. He's just a fantastic athlete, and it showed Dawson Call also had a big game for the Prairie Hawks. He's finally kind of healthy and in the groove a little bit. He went for 170 yards on 11 carries, three touchdowns. On the ground, he also caught a 17-yard pass. So good night for him. Kale Kongshog threw for over 200 yards. And this was really the game Prairie needed after two
losses.
Straight losses and a big loss to Waukee Northwest.
Yeah, kind of gets them back on track, right, KJ? Yeah,
I think so.
And I think it showed that the quality of the team that they are, or that Prairie has. And, you know,
and it showed you how good Northwest, Waukee Northwest is, too.
Yeah. 100%. And Jefferson, you know, put up 21 points, didn't quit, which is good, you know, for the Jayhawks as well. So let's look at Friday's scoreboard, and we'll go right back to you, KJ, because I think you had probably the biggest game in the area, and that was Iowa City Liberty and Iowa City West. Yeah, Liberty 44-31 victory. Kind of figured it'd be a high-scoring affair, and it definitely was, but Liberty bounces back from a loss the week before and hands West its first loss this season. What did you see, I guess, from in that game?
First off, this game was fascinating. I think everybody expected a shootout, and you certainly got that for about, 20 minutes, where, you know, they put up a ton of points in the first quarter and a half. Liberty got the ball with about 4 minutes to go, and finally just kind of had this controlled, methodical drive. I can't remember how many yards it went. Might have been in the 70s, but they marched it down and then scored a touchdown with about 23 seconds left. So that last drive of the first half really was kind of the fulcrum of this game. It went from this track meet going back and forth where Reese Wheeler and Ethan Headings had two big pass plays, and it just seemed like teams were scoring at will. And then Reese Redding drove Liberty down, hit Leo Roz for like a 9-yard score, like I said, in the last 23 seconds of the first half. And then after halftime, Liberty got the ball to start, and they squeezed the air out of the ball, and they just marched the ball down the field. The offensive line really took over. They start running the ball with Redig and Brody Beaver, and they did it efficiently and effectively. And I think the first drive might have been close to about 7 to 8 minutes long. West went three and out, or moved the chains once, and then went three and out. And then Liberty got the ball back and held it till about 10:27 to go in the fourth, when Reese Redding scored his second touchdown of the second half and third of the game. And that really, you know, they just didn't give West many chances after midway through the second quarter. And that right there kind of stood out to me, is that, you know, sometimes you hear this in wrestling more than anything, but sometimes you have to impose your will on somebody. You just have to make things go your way. And that's what they did, whether it was just sucking it up and getting tough, or whether it's somebody like Reese Redding kind of leading and bringing the troops together, guiding them a little bit. But I tell you what, it was a fascinating 2.5 quarters there when Liberty took over. Redding had a really good game. He rushed for 160 yards, three scores, went 7 of 11 passing. Only 82 yards, but one of those was for a touchdown, as we mentioned. Beaver also ran really well behind that Liberty line, 138 yards in two TDs. So good showing there against a really good defense. Now, remember, West is a heck of a defense. Got some D1 kids. So that tells you a little bit of something about Liberty kind of getting back, you know, in stride after the loss to Johnson. And just West was powered by Reese Wheeler and Ethan Headings. Wheeler threw for 240 yards and three touchdowns. All three of those scores were to Headings. I think one was 61 yards. I think one was 56 and another one was 20. And he had 194 yards on seven receptions there for West. So I think West will be fine. You know, they've definitely got a good a matchup here this week with Muscatine coming into town. You know, and then Liberty has Davenport Central. So I think both of these teams are in a good position for week six.
And with that, we have zero remaining undefeated teams in 5A in Eastern Iowa. What's the significance of that?
And we only have one in the state.
Let me think. Yeah, that's right. Milwaukee Northwest. That's right. That's right. What's the significance of that, do you think, Jeff?
I think it shows there's some parity. You know, there's some parity in Central Iowa. There's some parity on a little bit different level over here. And, you know, a lot of the teams over here are, you know, suffering their losses at the hands of Central Iowa too. But I, you know, what are there, 2, 4, 6, 9 teams that are 4-1 in 5A? That's a lot. And 4, 6, 8, 10 that are 3-2. So that's 20 teams that are, you know, within two games of each other with four to go and, you know, 19 that are within one game.
One of the scores that kind of interested me was Dallas Center Grimes, which I believe is newly 5A this year, beat Waukee 29-28. And I believe Dallas Center Grimes is one of those 4-1 teams, correct?
Yeah.
Is that a team that, you know, could be reckoned with, another suburban Des Moines school that nobody's really talking about?
Well, I really don't know a whole lot about them. Yeah, I do see, I just kind of looking at their schedule. You know, they've beaten Waukee, which is 1-4, a very, very good 1-4. They lost to Dowling, but, you know, their other three wins are against Urbandale, Atumwa, Roosevelt. And they don't play Valley. They don't play Johnston. They don't play Southeast Polk. So it's kind of, they've kind of got a nice little road to, you know, maybe 8-1, maybe 7-2.
Kind of reminds me of what was that, Atumwa a couple years ago, maybe? That
I think their schedule is a little bit better than Atumwa's was last a year or two ago. But they missed the playoffs at 7-2, didn't they?
Okay. Other scores around the state in 5A. Cedar Falls continues to roll 56. Sorry, Jeff.
No, I'm good.
Okay, sorry. Other scores around the state: Iowa City High lost to Norwalk 40-19. Cedar Rapids Kennedy with a 49-0 win over Marshalltown. Other scores, I guess, of interest. We wondered about Sioux City East, guys, right? Sioux City East lost to Ankeny 26-20. I think scored 14 points in the fourth quarter, and I don't know if it had the ball again with a chance to win, but does that validate East a little bit?
I think so. If they needed it, they're down 19-0 in that game. I don't know exactly how that comeback transpired, but that was on the road too, wasn't it?
Yeah, correct.
That's not a short trip. I think it shows that they're a quality team. You know, probably a top 10 team, maybe. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I was one of the detractors for Iowa City West, and, you know, really thought they needed to kind of prove themselves against the better teams. And the fact that they hung right in there, I guess I do kind of buy into them being a team that's, you know, right in that on that edge of the top 10, you know, 8, 9, 10 type of team.
Let's run to 4A real quick. Just a couple scores of note. Grinnell beats Clear Creek Amana 28-25. I think that's three losses in a row for CCA, if I remember correctly. Pella shut out Marion 48-0. Decorah gets back on the winning track 48-7 over Waterloo East. Cedar Rapids Xavier, no surprise, over Cedar Rapids Washington 42-15. And then the one final that, not necessarily the winner, but the spread that was surprising. Sergeant Bluff Luton just whacked Fort Dodge 38-0 in a battle of top 10 teams. So, I think we Fort Dodge fall all the way out of our rankings this week. So that very, very interesting there. Let's run to 3A real quick. Benton Community 41-7 over Charles City. Huge win for Williamsburg, 17-14 over previously unbeaten Des Moines Christian. And that kind of sets up Williamsburg, if it can win this week against Nevada, to kind of take that district, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if they would get by Nevada, I'd say they've absolutely got the inside track to win it. And, you know, if win or lose, I think they're in good shape to make the playoffs now.
And we talked in previous, you know, episodes here that just a brutal schedule. Unbelievable schedule that Williamsburg's played so far. And, you know, heck, it's paying off, I guess, so far early here in district play. So – other scores, we had Solon all over Fairfield 77-0. West Delaware with a win 48-18 over Iowa Falls Alden. And then I guess I'll Mount Vernon with a win 50-0 over Maquoketa. Dubuque Waller over Center Point Urbana 45-6. And I guess we'll talk a little bit about the game I was at. Clear Lake 43, Independence nothing. At Independence, did not expect that. I thought it was going to be a close game. Both teams came in undefeated and ranked in the top five, but boy, I tell you what, guys, Clear Lake certainly showed why it's number one. Athletes all over the field, very quick defensively as well. You know, the talk to their coach, Aaron Stensland, he kind of mentioned, you know, if I have my druthers, I want quickness, maybe over, you know, huge size on defense, because that means we can get 11 guys, 11 halves to the ball. And there's no question that Clear Lake did that. Independence had about 40 yards total. Really took, you know, really took control up front. And then there was, you know, scored, I think, on the first possession. Independence had a block punt against it in there. And it just it went – went awry really quickly, and Clear Lake didn't let up. So pretty good football team there and up there in the Mason City area. We'll run to 2A. Jeff, I'm going to have you talk about West Branch and Albernette, 20-17 Albernette. I'm surprised by how good this Albernette team's been, but you've seen them a couple times now, right? Yeah. KJ, have you seen them as well?
Yeah.
Yep, speak on the Pirates. Something pretty darn good going on.
I'm really impressed with their defense. Gave up 144 yards to West Branch, forced four turnovers. You know, a really big moment there when they're up 13-7. They got a stop down by the goal line, and then Lake and Caves got loose. He didn't play a lot because he's got some ankle issues, but he did get loose for an 87-yard touchdown run. So that's, you know, basically a 14-point swing. They're up 20-7 at that point, and they hold on to beat West Branch 20-17. And now they've got an undefeated Bellevue team coming to town, and you know, I guess I'd say that's probably the district championship game at this point, unless, you know, if Bellevue would win that game, they still have to play West Branch. So that might be kind of a three-way tie kind of thing, but Albernette absolutely can put themselves in the driver's seat.
KJ, you want to talk on Albernette a little bit since you've seen him?
I just want to make a joke that I have ankle issues and I can't get out of the recliner. Lathan Cave has ankle issues and he's breaking 87-yard touchdown runs. That says a lot about Lathan Cave, but I mean we've seen him compete not just in football but in other sports. But man, he's an incredible athlete. But you know, I saw him against Regina. That was probably one of their toughest outings. But tough is that's the characteristic that I thought. I mean, maybe you know, I'm not sure, Linder, if you saw that or agreed, but you know, they were physical and they were tough and they're athletic.
They're all of those things.
Yeah, and that's not something that you normally kind of get in a whole package with a team. You know, usually you kind of have to pick and choose and figure out where you kind of slot in, whether it's being athletic or being tough or somewhere in between. But they, you know, they've got all those components. And, you know, Regina's just a really good team. Albernette's going to cause a lot of teams in 2A fits.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if Caves can get back to 100%. A little trivia fact, Lathan Caves, son of a former Gazette Athlete of the Year. You remember Christy Johnson from Albernette,
JJ? Yes, absolutely. That her? That's his mom. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it was 1997, give or take a year.
Wow. I did not realize that.
Yeah, I think you wrote the story on her, didn't you?
I don't remember that at all, but I can't remember what happened yesterday. So,
okay.
And I remember, I mean, that's a family of athletes, right? Older brother Hunter was an outstanding multi-sport athlete, led Albernette to the state championship basketball game when he was maybe even a sophomore or a junior.
Isn't there a sister that was a really good?
Yeah, really good athlete, softball player, right?
Yeah. Andy? Yeah. Softball, I think, good track kid.
All right. Well, now we know why they're
bar set pretty high in that household.
I guess we can run through some of the other 2A scores of note. Animalsa 24-7 over Tipton. Mid Prairie, a high scoring affair, 56-35 over West Liberty. Bellevue, as Jeff mentioned, remains undefeated, 48-14 over Monticello. LaPorte City Union, guys, is somebody that you know, we haven't really talked about. Actually, I guess that's a 1A school. We'll talk about them in a second. Sorry about that. Rolling Story edges Vinton Shelsburg 21-14, Waukon over North Red Valley 50-31. And Van Meter loses to Clarinda 17-14. When was the last time Van Meter had two losses in the regular season?
I don't know that, but I know that's the first time they've lost a district game in 10 years.
Wow. There you go. Which is a pretty incredible streak, right?
I think it was 55 games. I think it was fourth, fifth, sixth longest in state history for a district winning streak.
Holy cow. Holy cow. So Clarinda, obviously a team to reckon with in 2A. Now we'll get to Union as we move to 1A.
Before we move to 1A.
Yeah.
I just want to kind of point out at the beginning of the year, really, really high on Mid Prairie. And then they suffered a setback, which happened to be against Albernette, I think, in week two. And Mid Prairie has really bounced back strong, averaging over 38 points a game, high scoring, very capable offense. And I think that's a team, you know, to kind of look out for. You know, they put 56 up on West Liberty after wins against Wilton and Sigourney Kyoto. So just keep an eye on Mid Prairie because they had that little blip, 42-37 to Albernette. And there's somebody that probably a good chance to sweep, run the table the next 3 games.
And believe me, I've gotten some correspondence from the folks at Albernette that we've got Mid Prairie ranked ahead of Albernette in this week's poll.
Oh, okay.
I didn't do it. I don't think I did. All right. I'll blame these two. That's the easy way out. Nah, I don't remember what I voted, quite honestly.
Let's just blame you, Nash.
Yes, yeah. I think it's you, Nash's fault.
That's throwing our poll off.
And Plague and Cool. Those two.
I don't know if you want to blame Plague and Cool. He's been like spot on for just about everything he's done.
Now we can get to Union 41-2 over Jessup, guys. And Union's 5-0 coming off a season in which it was 3-6 in 2024. What do you make of the Knights? They've already beaten Appalachian Parkersburg, if I remember correctly. And a big one, I look at the schedule, the rest of the schedule looks pretty manageable.
They're not losing in the regular season.
There you go. So what do you make of LaPorte City Union, I guess?
Kate, I'll defer to you guys because I really don't know much about them.
Good athletes, basketball team that made it to the state tournament last year and was all underclassmen. So I think you're looking at a good cycle of athletes up there for one big thing. And I'm just kind of looking at the stats here. Caden Sorensen, who's one of those basketball players, threw for 109 yards, ran for 43. Garrett Kahlberg ran for 155 yards and 3 touchdowns last week. So that's kind of, what I think's going on up there. But, a team that maybe I think we all maybe need to start paying a little bit of attention to, as Jeff said, favored in the last three games, which would make them 9-0 going into the playoffs. And, that'll give you some favorability in the bracket, I would guess. So yeah.
Looks like they can run and pass it both. They run for 700 yards this year, pass for about 9. Got a couple guys, both with over 300 yards rushing. So looks like a pretty balanced team.
Let's look at the rest of the one. Go ahead, KJ.
I was going to say, Union's had good teams in the past. They've had good athletes. Sometimes these things are cyclical, a little dip there. We've seen it with other programs. Maybe it's just kind of the riding of the ship a little bit. Guys kind of coming of age, moving from inexperienced juniors in the race. Maybe it's just one of those kind of spikes in the graph that's finally on the pick.
When the year they won a state championship, was that in 3A?
Yes.
That was a good team. I'm trying to remember the running back. Burnside. And the quarterback that ended
up
playing.
They have a Shield kid?
Yeah, Jay Shield. Yep. The only bad part about it, I guess, about it for them is they're in 1A, which I think is loaded, especially.
Yeah. do you want to play a quarterfinal game against Grundy, or do you want to play against Regina?
Exactly, right? So let's run down to Class A, the big game that we talked about last week, Wapsie Valley beats Maquoketa Valley 27-16 to remain unbeaten. South Winneshiek over Clayton Ridge 2017. Starmont beats Postville 63-0. North Lynn remains undefeated 49-14 and should be heavily favored, I believe, this week in a game. I can't remember who the Lynx are playing, but Jared Collum doing a great job up there with them. I'd like to see them play, actually, and hopefully we can do that here in a couple of weeks or so. Northland winning in something, imagine that, right? So
that never happens.
Yeah, ever, and either boys or girls sports. So let's go to eight player real quick. Edco remains undefeated 54-0 over Central City. Easton Valley remains undefeated 54-8 over HLV Tri-County. Milwaukee Settlement did play after forfeiting the week before, lost to North Tama 48-6. I believe I heard they have 10 kids.
Wow.
So needless to say, that's an uphill battle. And the rest of, I think the rest of the Class A, as we look at the top 10, that's pretty much played out chalk all season with our top 10, if I remember correctly.
Class A? Yeah, I'm on that voting committee, and that's hard, you know, trying to differentiate between the top eight teams or so. I think there's nine unbeatens left, and it's really hard.
All right, this week, Jeff, you gave us kind of a list of games that, you know, we're really kind of looking forward to. I'll let you guys, you know, you want to pick one or two and talk about them? How about we do that?
That would be fine. We'll just kind of, I think probably what's the best game Metro Iowa City wise? It's probably Dowling Kennedy on paper. I think Kennedy's going to have its hands full with that. Dowling's got a really good passing game. They've got two guys with almost 500 yards receiving already, and Jeffrey Roberts and Sam Drexler. So obviously Kennedy's going to have its hands full there. Just kind of going through. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Jeff. Roberts is an Iowa State recruit, by the way, who moved in for this season.
Can he play cornerback?
Yeah. So he's a future Cyclone. So anyway, go ahead.
Just kind of around the area, Edco and Eastern Valley, they'll play at Preston. A couple teams, 5-0, ranked 6th and 7th in 8 player. Independence, West Delaware, we'll see how Independence can bounce back. You know, West Delaware lost all those close games last year, and now they're not playing many close games. Other than Wallert, they're handling everybody pretty well. We talked about Bellevue Avernette, Beckman Cascade, and probably a district championship game in 1A District 5. Benton Community has the privilege to go to Clear Lake this week. Clear Lake's just rolling right now. That's just such a tough district with Benton and Clear Lake and Indy and West Delaware. It's hard to imagine all four of them making the playoffs, but I think they're all playoff caliber teams. And we talked a little bit about Nevada Williamsburg. You know, if Williamsburg can get that one, I think they're going to be sitting really pretty to win that district.
And North Scott, Western Dubuque.
Yes.
Which all of a sudden is, or not all of a sudden, but that's a very important game.
Yeah, and it didn't look that way about 3 weeks ago, but here we are.
Let's run through in town, I guess. We've got the Metro Iowa City. As Jeff said, it's not really that great of a schedule, at least on paper. Cedar Rapids Jefferson's at Dubuque. Senior Prairie hosts Dubuque Hempstead. Pleasant Valley comes to Linmar to play the Lions. We talked about Dowling and Kennedy. Southeast Polk plays at Iowa City High at Bates Field. KJ, I think are you going to be at Xavier this week, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Xavier Waverly Shell Rock there. First time for a chance to see Xavier play.
They are very good.
So kind of looking forward to seeing Cash Parks for the first time since their quarterfinal loss to North Polk last year. And the team that's really tough. So we'll see how that handles or how Xavier handles that, even though I think the Shell Rock's a little bit down, 2-3 right now. Almost giving up as many points per game scoring. So 17.2 points a game. Their defense is giving up. And Xavier's obviously putting up a lot of points on the board with that offense scoring about 38. So we'll see how those two units can match up on Friday.
Yeah, we'll see how good a week the scout team has for Xavier. So
for sure.
You know, looking at Waverly's schedule, it's been very tough. Played Pella very tough, 10-3. Lost to Western Dubuque, 20-7. Lost to Algona, which is a good team, 28-7. So, I think you could have an interesting game.
It'll be one of the slobber knockers.
There you go.
It is with those two programs. So. You know, guys, one game that kind of stands out to me, Washington going to Decorah.
Oh, yeah.
When was the last time Cedar Rapids, Washington, and Decorah faced each other? We've seen Decorah and Xavier. We've seen Decorah and Marion. I don't know if I've seen Decorah face any of the other metro schools. Nevertheless, Cedar Rapids, Washington traveling to Decorah for a game. I don't ever remember anything like that before.
Probably not.
We played them every year when we were in baseball, Pilchy, back in the 80s.
Way back
in the aughts.
And Pinky.
Yeah. I remember classic Coach Primrose. I love you, by the way, Coach. But we played them the morning after graduation in 84. And we lost. So I will
don't want to assume anything, but could you have blindfolded your whole team with dental floss that morning? Maybe.
I just remember old Coach Olenzak. Never heard anything about him at that point. It was 18 years old, right? He's in that third base coaching box, just barking, right? And I'm like, who the hell is this guy, man? I don't know. I want to play for him, but we all know what a great coach he is. Or he was in multiple sports. So
well over 1,000 wins.
All right. Anything else anybody wants to touch on, Jeff? We'll pimp a story. You got a big recruit for Iowa women's basketball. Folks can get in on that story at the Gazette, correct?
Yeah. It's easier to spell. Well, it's not that easy to spell either, but easier to spell than pronounce. It's McKenna Velichko, number 6 recruit in the country. Going to go play women's basketball at Iowa. And they also announced today that that Carver's going to be sold out for every home game again this year. So it's if you're an Iowa women's basketball fan, I don't think today could have gone any better. unless you think you're going to get some straight tickets, then life's going to be rough.
KJ, you have our prep football story this week. What are you working on?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to Nick Hoffman of Cascade. He's ranking among state leaders in passing statistics, and he's got Cascade on a 4-game winning streak heading into this matchup against number 9 Dyersville Beckman. That game promises to be a high-scoring affair. I think Beckman scores 36 points a game. Hoffman's led the Cougars to 32 points a game. Lost a really close one, 22-20, to Bellevue, who's unbeaten, going into a big matchup with Albernett. But after they lost that season opener, they've rattled off 4 straight and coming in hot here against a 4-1 Beckman team. So I've been told that Mick Hoffman's the kind of kid that has ice water in his veins. When the moment's the biggest, he's the coolest. So looking forward to that.
Hoffman and Cascade. Imagine that.
Yeah, right? Go figure.
Next thing you're going to tell me, there's a Weber on this team or something.
Weber, maybe a Meyer.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I will advertise that we're doing, or that I went over and talked to Cedar Rapids Rough Riders hockey coach Mark Carlson, who needs one win this weekend or anytime. The club hosts Lincoln twice, Friday night, Saturday night, 7:05, both nights. One win gives him the United States Hockey League record for most career coaching victories in the regular season. So had a nice long talk with Coach. He's been here since the inception of the franchise in 1999-2000. Read all this stuff at the Gazette, www.thegazette.com. We'll have all that. Running scoreboard this week. KJ, you will be at Xavier. Jeff, where are you going to be?
I'll be at Manchester.
Manchester, West Delaware, and Indy. I will be at Kingston Stadium for Kennedy and Dowling, and hopefully getting over to the Ice Arena if the Rough Riders win and Coach gets that record. I think that'll about do it for this week. Enjoy this weather one more time, folks.
The first state rankings are out for 2A, 1AA.
There we go. And those are used for playoff purposes, correct?
Right. Okay. As far as who hosts and who in seedings and stuff like that, it doesn't do anything as far as who qualifies. I did a little math and put the 5A RPIs together. The state will do that starting next week, so I won't. But that's on the web. If somebody wants to look at it, that's fine.
All right, that's at JT Linder, at KJ Pilcher on X, at JEJE66. Guys, enjoy. Go ahead.
One quick thing. This is not high school related, but I think it's worth kind of mentioning. Cornell just announced that they are adding women's flag football.
Really?
To their list of sports in the spring of 2027. So in the spring of 2027, women's flag football will be a varsity sport here at the college level. So that's something that
interesting to see what the field specs are for that. Is that they play 80 yard fields?
That's a good question. I have no clue. I mean, this is something that I've heard that there was gaining interest in pockets. You know, I think it's more of a regional thing because I haven't seen much of it in Iowa right now, but you know, I don't know enough about things like you mentioned, the logistics of it, but it just kind of piqued my interest to see that announcement.
Absolutely, 100%. Guys, thank you for your time. Folks, thank you for listening to us, watching us with this ugly face, hopefully listening, not watching. Thanks for joining us in another edition of the Triple Option Podcast. And as always, we'll let KJ lead us out.
Keep your head on a swivel.